When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Best. This is the best of the best show, the new version of the best show. And for people who don't know, the best show takes place each and every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. till midnight over at thebestshow.net. And if you are new to the program, these are little bite-sized greatest hits samples of what we do every week. So check this out. And if you want more, you can listen to the full three-hour extravaganza and check it out. And if you want to support the best show, the way to do that is to download the episodes and to give us reviews on iTunes and to tell people that the show is back and that you like it. So please check out this new episode of Best Show Best. Best Show, you're on the air.
Oh, hold on, sorry. My wristwatch alarm went off.
Your wrist, what? That was your wristwatch.
It was, yes. Do you know what song it was playing?
What was that, Disco Inferno?
By the Tramps, yes.
Sure.
I'm into disco now.
Oh, okay. You're into disco now.
It's, yes.
Seems to be a common occurrence.
It does? Who's into disco but me?
I think everyone is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I hear a lot of people starting to dig disco.
Are they DJing like I am?
Wait, you're DJing?
Oh, yeah.
I think you told me about this.
Just in the basement for now.
Oh, okay, you're just like a basement DJ.
Yeah, you don't know who this is, do you?
I think I know who this is.
Say my name.
Philly Boy Roy.
Yeah.
How about that?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Yeah. How are you?
I'm freezing my crotch marbles off down here in Philly. It's awful.
Cold, huh?
Yeah, we got more snow today. It's really wreaking havoc on my social life.
It's wreaking what?
It's wreaking hammock.
Havoc.
Is what?
You want to say it's wreaking havoc.
No, I don't. Cracking late in the series episode of Gilligan's Island much? It don't sound like you do.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, see, it's in reference to that time Gilligan pulled a practical joke and he smeared fetid shark entrails all over the professor's hammock. You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Oh, that hammock. It reeked bad, Tom.
Because it had shark entrails on it?
Fetid shark entrails.
Oh, fetid shark entrails. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So Gilligan smeared them?
He did, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know what this is putting me in mind of?
What's that?
Do you remember the last episode of Gilligan's Island?
I don't think I do.
Oh, man, they only showed it once.
The final episode of Gilligan's Island?
Yeah.
What happened on the final episode of Gilligan's Island?
Oh, well, man. Turn all the lights on, because it's really scary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, the castaways, they finally get found by the U.S. Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big hurricane. And there's all this debris on the beaches, so they can't get a rescue boat in.
Yeah. Okay.
So the Navy sends a big helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
To airlift everyone off it.
Okay.
But as the helicopter comes across the horizon, Gilligan holds up one of Ginger's mirrors.
Okay.
You know, to catch the sunlight and reflect it back so the guy can see where everyone's at. You know, to get the attention of the helicopter
pilot. Sure.
Toilet.
Now, that actually sounds like a smart strategy.
It?
Yeah.
Gilligan was way smarter than people give him credit for.
Okay. I never thought of it that way, but...
Okay. Anyway, the light blinds the pilot and he loses control of the helicopter.
Okay.
And the copter crashes towards the ground. And one by one, the castaways all get caught in the helicopter blades.
Oh my God.
The carnage rivaled that of Antietam. The battle and the band. What?
I never thought the band... Carnage is not the first thing I would think of when I think of the band, but...
Oh, yeah, they shredded.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw them down at Revival once.
Okay.
Club down here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, in 2013, TV Guide called that episode, to this day, the single most disturbing event not only televised, but ever imagined.
Wow. That is...
Yeah.
That's... even imagine, not even...
Yeah, like, isn't that weird? Like, there's that was a category.
Imagined.
Most disturbing imagined.
Yeah. That's crazy.
They must have dumped that category since. You don't hear about it no more.
Usually you hear about best actor, like people say,
yeah.
Who's the best actor? Who's the best director or best show? You don't usually hear people say, what's the most disturbing
thought?
Yeah, the most disturbing thought. Not even what's the most disturbing show. The most disturbing place your mind could go.
Very, very odd tangent we're on right now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it actually is, Roy.
Yeah. Hey, little tidbit about that episode.
Mm-hmm.
The Box Tops play the helicopter crew.
The band, the Box Tops.
Yeah, they shot it in 67.
Okay.
Yeah. A young Alex Chilton can be heard saying, "This MF-er is going down, boys."
Wow, so he's on the copter.
Yeah. You know what's weirder?
What's that?
The final theme song, when they play the final time of the theme song.
Of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, it was played by Red Crayola.
The band.
The psych band, yeah.
Wow. So this is 67.
Yep.
So they're probably kind of in like Parable of Arable land.
Absolutely, yeah. Sherwood Schwartz was way into early psych. He dropped psilocybin and blessed acts as bold as love in the writer's room.
Sherwood Schwartz would.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Well, I'm not the one making the outrageous claim.
I'm not making it up.
That's really stupid.
Oh, no, it ain't. I'll tell you one thing about this weather.
Yeah?
The only good thing is I get to wear my down Agents of Fortune parka every day.
You mean
you
like...
You know what that is,
yeah,
don't you?
Like Blue Oyster Cult?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got the BOC Ankh bedazzled on the back.
Okay.
And people of all ages, creeds, and colors stop and go, "There goes a true Cultosaurus erectus." And I go, "That's right, my man," or woman, you know, pertaining to what the sex is of the aforementioned commentor.
Because they see your jacket and they can spot a Blue Oyster Cult fan.
They sure
coming
do.
Down the street. And
it's great.
And
oh, no! Ow!
Right.
Oh, no!
What happened?
Oh.
You all right?
I'm fine. I just accidentally broke the gift I was going to send you.
You were going to send me a gift?
Yeah. Oh, man. It was kind of a goodwill gesture from Roxborough in celebration of your relaunch of the show.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's nice. That's
well, it would have been nice had I not dropped it on the floor and broke it. Way to go, Roy!
Oh, well, I'm sorry. That's, you know. So it broke?
It shattered, oh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, can I ask what the gift was?
Well, it was this live 3D set of Bruce Springsteen playing at the Agora in Cleveland on the Darkness Tour. Supposed to be a great night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that he's been putting those out. Yeah, I wanted that. I've been meaning to get that.
Oh, man, it was signed, too.
Oh, man, that is... So you have a signed copy?
Yeah.
Of the Springsteen Live 78 thing, show in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Is that something you got on his website? Because he's been selling all these things on brucespringsteen.net. Is that, was he selling signed copies up there or something?
No, he signed it for you the other night at Quarters.
He signed it where?
The other night at Quarters.
I'm not sure. I don't know what you're saying.
I never told you about this.
About what?
Oh, well, you know, Bruce, me, and a bunch of guys from Roxburgh have been having monthly Quarters nights since, like, back in 85.
Monthly Quarters nights?
Yeah.
Now, Roy, when you say Quarters, you don't mean, like the drinking game Quarters.
I sure as donuts do.
Okay. So you have a Quarters night.
I do, and Bruce is great at it.
He's great at Quarters.
Oh, yeah.
That's, huh. You know, I never thought he was like a particularly big drinker.
Oh, he don't drink, especially when he's playing with me. I love to drink.
I know you do love to drink, Roy, but this sounds a little fishy to me. Is this, just be honest, are you lying right now?
Why do you say that? Because he's Jersey to the bone, and I'm Philly to the marrow, and you don't think we'd be able to hang like total bros?
Well, I guess that's a minor part of why I would think you'd be making this up, but more because he's a superstar and an icon, and you're, I mean, like, no offense. I mean, you're...
Say it. Say it. You think I'm unhinged, erotically charged, possibly criminally insane, Philly street trash.
That is... I never would have said that.
Oh, okay. Because a minister said that to me the other day.
That's what you... A minister called you that?
Called me that, yeah. Uh-huh.
Why would he call you... was it unhinged?
Yes.
Something about...
Erotically
charged.
Possibly criminally insane. Philly street trash.
Uh-huh. Why?
It's burned into my memory. I'm going to take that to the grave in the next life.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Why would he call you that?
Oh, nothing.
No, why?
Family is off his town down and wait where they get everybody going.
What's that?
He's found me in his office chowing down on them wafers they give people to get into heaven. Why?
Well, that's out of bounds, Roy. That's not food. That's like a sacrament.
I don't know what that means.
Well, it's not for you to eat.
Well, don't judge me. Only one can judge me.
Oh, what's that?
Only one can judge me.
Okay.
Dick Vermeil.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Coach Vermeil. If he finds out I called him by his first name, I'm screwed.
Well, I will say this. You don't seem to have any respect for the church, but you seem to have a ton of respect for a former coach of the Eagles.
Well, he's like a god to me, and I'm going to see the church when they come here soon.
What's that?
I'm going to see the church when they play here.
You're going to see the church are playing in Philly?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I ain't seen them since. What tour was the last one I seen? Gold Afternoon Fix, maybe. I kind of jumped off after that. Priest equals or not my cup of tea.
I didn't know you were a big fan of the Church.
I like some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's look. I'll say this about you: you never cease to amaze me, and the Church thing is one thing, but I'm going to say the bigger thing we're talking about now is you saying you've been playing quarters with Bruce Springsteen since what year did you say?
85.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I want to hear, I have to hear more about this.
Okay, well strap yourself in, okay? It's going to be a bumpy ride like they said in Jaws.
I don't remember anybody saying strap yourself in. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Right, yeah, it's right before he goes, this boat needs to be way bigger.
Why do people think that's turning into like one of these like play it again, Sam kind of things where that's not what was said in the movie.
Sure it is.
But he didn't say this boat has got to be way bigger. That's not the way.
Did you just play a sample of it?
No, I didn't play. No. And it's
just like it.
Well, I don't know why people keep saying that that's the line from Jaws. It's not the line from Jaws. And people keep saying it's.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
Who do people say was Charles Nelson Reilly or something? He was not in Jaws.
It's Rob Schneider.
No, Rob Schneider was not in Jaws either.
I don't know. Well, you was asking me a question about this, right?
About
Springsteen. I'm going to answer it.
About Springsteen, yes, yes.
Yeah. See, we met back September 85 when he was doing Six Nights at the Spectrum.
Okay.
My buddy Wheels, Mouse, and Fart snuck in with me, but I got kicked out about an hour into the show.
Yeah. You just. Yeah. Oh, so you got kicked out about an hour into the Springsteen show,
I sure did. Uh-huh. I ran up on stage during Badlands.
Yeah.
And I stuffed a fully loaded tuna hoagie into Clarence's saxophone right before that epic solo.
Okay, so he's like teeing up, getting ready to do.
The 18,000 people know it's coming, right?
Yeah.
One of the most iconic sax solos ever.
Yeah.
When he blew into that thing, it sounded like a mouse screaming into a pair of fully loaded khakis.
Oh, that's evocative. I never thought of anything sounding. That's a very evocative image for the way something sounds.
Can you put that on my tombstone?
What's that?
That's a very evocative image.
You know what? Sure, I'll bring that up when.
Thank you.
You know, heaven forbid the day comes.
Right.
When you know you've.
Can you imagine a life without me?
You want to know what, Roy? I kind of can't.
Thank you.
Okay, I didn't realize
that's
was
my new thing. Thank you.
It's very. It's,
I'm gonna keep doing it.
Oh, it's charming.
Thank you.
It's like, it doesn't in any way sound obnoxious or just
insincere.
Strangely entitled to that for that.
Okay. Oh, so what was I talking? Oh, the when I jumped up on stage, right?
Yeah, you were saying you jammed a tuna hoagie into Clarence Clemens' saxophone.
Thank you for reminding me. Oh. I got tackled by a bunch of goons and I got thrown out.
Uh-huh.
And I was so mad I went to the Hilton, you know, across the parking lot from the Spectrum to party in the bar.
Yeah.
Who comes in but Bruce?
Really?
Yeah, it was just me and him sitting there just, you know, having drinks and stuff. It was so real, Tom.
surreal. I think you mean so. It was surreal.
Look, don't get all teachery on my sweet ass, okay?
Oh. All right.
Anyway, we start talking about stuff, and he's just being the coolest guy ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought my stage invasion was really cool and funny. He was actually mad at Clarence that night for wearing a white jumpsuit that made him look like he was in Menudo.
Okay.
So he was kind of into Clarence getting his comeuppance.
Yeah, yeah, that... Okay, so he liked it.
He did like it, and so we're hanging out. I invite him back to my apartment. I'd just gotten my first pad, right?
Uh-huh.
It was a Maniunk. And we start playing folded paper football for hours.
Folded paper football?
Yeah, you ever played that?
I think, is that the thing where you, like, kind of fold up a piece of notebook paper into, like a triangle?
Yes!
And then you kind of flick it around?
Your finger, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe your finger's a foot.
Yeah, you pretend your finger is a foot, yeah. Maybe in, like middle school, sure.
We still do it. It's fun.
Okay.
Well, you must have been an early bloomer to be doing it back then.
I never thought of it as any sort of me being progressive at all, but maybe we were a little bit ahead of it in New Jersey.
Possibly. But then soon enough, we graduated to a real man's game, quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and man, he's so good at it. He rarely loses, which means I get chiffonched, which I'm totally down with.
Okay. So.
And we were total bros from then on, right?
So the two of you just hit it off.
Oh, yeah. He comes down to Roxborough all the time. He's actually Roy Jr.'s godfather.
Bruce Springsteen is your son Roy Jr.'s godfather.
Yeah, Bruce calls him Little Boss.
Right, Roy, you know, we've had so many conversations over the years. How have you never mentioned this before?
I don't know. I guess I didn't think nothing of it. You know, to me, it's just another page in the book of Roy, right?
Okay. It's like, I guess it. You definitely have a bunch of stories, and who... I've...
Oh. Hang on, okay?
Oh.
That's him now.
Who?
Bruce. Hang on. You got the Roy dog. What's going on, B-Man? Look, how many times do I gotta answer this, Bruce? When I see it, it's white and gold. Who cares if you see blue and black? It's not a big deal. And I'm tired of talking about this dumb dress. Yes, Bruce, I've heard the term before. It's really not in wide usage right now. Oh, man. Tom?
Yeah?
Bruce keeps saying the phrase, turned down for what? It's something he heard in a song or something. He can't stop saying it. I think it means to sober up.
Okay.
And he, between you and me, he latches onto these hip phrases and he beats them into the ground.
Really? You're talking to Bruce right now?
I am, yeah. Hey, like, Bruce, hang on, okay?
Uh-huh. Well, like, so he says turn down for what to you?
Yeah.
Like, what other phrases does he use?
Oh, man. Off the top of my head, let's see. Crunk, slamming, my bad, talk to the hand, doy, cold lamping, yada, yada, yada. What else? Don't even go there, fart knocker. But ugly. We like to send out a mailer. What up, dog? Sweet nugs. I want to say Mason. Step off. What else does he say? Punani. What you talking about, Willis? Holy shnikes. I kid you not. What else? Barf me out. These dogs are barking. Grindage, this boat needs to be way bigger. Don't narc me out, but yes! Take a chill pill, Narbo, that's a dork. No doy, no can do, eat my shorts, swiggity sweet. Where's the beef? That's just to name a couple of them.
It's so Springsteen regularly uses all of those things you just said.
Well, he's been doing it since I've known him. Yeah, he's been saying fleek all week, too. What does that mean?
Like, I barely know what fleek means. It's a.
I don't know either.
It's like
saying every other sentence. It's rough.
Yeah, it's like a new expression. I barely know what it is.
I don't get it. Oh, hang on, Blob. Okay. Hey, Bruce. Can you do me a favor? Can I get you to sign another one of them Cleveland 78 CDs? I accidentally dropped it on the floor and it smashed. Who'd you get to supply them jewel cases, Ryko Disc? That thing shattered faster than my copper blue case when I cracked the cellophane on it. I'm just busting your bees, B. Yeah, it's for Sharpling. Wait, what? Oh my God, that's insane. Then what did he do? This is just crazy. What does she have to do with them?
What is he?
Rob.
Yeah?
Bruce is talking about some crazy incident you talked about on your show a couple weeks ago where you asked Patti Smith if humble pie was any good. That's not real, is it?
Oh, wait, Bruce Springsteen, I can't believe, first of all, I can't believe Bruce Springsteen knew who I was.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no idea how he would hear about this, unless he was listening to hear about the Patti Smith thing. Basically, in a nutshell, I was in San Francisco and saw her in the hotel and then went into the elevator when she was going in the elevator. And I figured I would try to come up with a different thing to ask her rather than the same thing she's probably heard a million times.
Oh.
So I know, Roy, I know. So I asked her if back in the day, I know.
What's worse is I already know how this goes, and it's still giving me the skeeves.
Oh, Roy, it came out of my head and mouth. And
I just want to hear you say it, please.
I asked her back in the day if she ever saw Humble Pie, and then she looked at me like I was crazy, and she said, that was before my time, which, if you think about the timeline, doesn't even remotely track. It was not before her time. She was seeing, she was seeing things in the 70s. She was from the 70s. It doesn't even remotely track.
Yeah, but you gotta admit, it's probably the weirdest thing anyone on Earth has ever done. It's like me getting in an elevator with Greg Lesinski and asking him if Jack Nicklaus was any good.
I admit it. You're not going to get any argument from me on it. It's really, really skin-crawlingly weird and just unsettling.
I know. I'm unsettled right now.
It's unsettling. It unsettles me.
I don't like it. I don't want it. I certainly don't need it. And if you gave it to me, I'd give it away.
Well, that, I think if you're going to go for something on your tombstone, you might want to skip over that other thing I said and go with that, maybe.
I don't know. Well, I'll have to sleep on this. Oh, but, you know, you said you couldn't believe that Bruce listened to your show, how weird that was. Bruce loves The Best Show.
No.
Been listening for years. He said he tried to get through 10 times last week to tell you about a moment he wants to take back, but he couldn't get through.
I don't even know what to say. I can't believe that Bruce Springsteen listens to The Best Show and that he would try to call the show.
He said he tried to call a bunch of times when he was on FMU, but Mike never let him through.
Really?
Yeah, he says Mike never believes it's really him, and he always makes some kind of Outlaw Pete joke that hurts Bruce's feelings.
Like when he's screening him.
Yeah.
No.
He don't let him through. And Bruce was going to send you a copy of the Outlaw Pete Kids book, but he was afraid Mike would spill beer all over it.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable. This guy's...
Yeah, he loves The Best Show. He was actually saying, get off my phone at the end of Mary's Place every night on the Rising Tour.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I know it is. What? Hang on. What's that, Bruce? What? How does it go? I have no idea what that is. Why don't you call Barry and ask him yourself? Shut up, you dumb yitz, Norp. You're being dumb. Hang on. Let me ask Blob and see if he's heard of this. Tom?
Yeah?
Bruce said he's trying to find this Bee Gees song that he's certain is on Main Course, but he's looking on iTunes and he can't find it nowhere.
Oh, okay.
He said, well, he says the first line goes something like this. Oh, girl, how can you say you love me, bitch, when I call you Captain Roger from Foghat?
That, okay.
Do you want me to sing it again? Because I surely will.
Oh, you know what? Yes, I would like it one more time.
Okay, I think it goes something like this. Oh, girl, how can you say you love me, bitch, when I caught you tapping Roger from Foghat? Does that ring any bells? It don't for me.
No, that does not sound familiar at all. I can't believe that I've never heard of a Bee Gees song
that mentions Foghat.
That mentions
and Roger specifically.
Yeah, yeah. What a weird that I have no idea what that is.
I don't know. Wait, Bruce. There's no way I'm going to sing that over the radio. No, you listen to me. Tom and his listeners hold me up as a beacon of cool, and I don't want to ruin that. Oh, duh. I hate when Bruce goes, peas, like a little baby. He knows I'm silly putty in his hands when he does that.
Ugh, I don't like that either.
Okay, he says the chorus goes like this. Oh, girl, it hurts so bad when you said you didn't want me to be your pimp.
What is...
I don't know what that... It seems crazy, right?
That's not a Bee Gees song. They don't have songs about them trying to be pimps.
I know,
and
right?
Being mad or sad that a woman wouldn't let them be their pimp.
I know. That's, there's no way that's a Bee Gees song. Maybe a Rick James song.
Well, that's offensive.
What?
A Rick, okay, yeah, of course it's Rick James.
I can say that because I live in a city. We're all one big family in this urban jungle.
Oh, that's...
What?
No, that's way out of bounds, Roy. Way out of bounds. Urban.
Look, I told Bruce to ask Barry Gibb and, you know, ask him what the song is, but Bruce says he doesn't know Barry well enough to just call him up, and he says he thinks Barry won't know who he is.
That's weird. I'm
sure. I go, Bruce, you're being a full-on pant faucet.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you call Bruce Springsteen a pant faucet?
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you'd even talk to him like that.
Oh, he loves when I talk to him like that. He asked me to make fun of him in front of the other people in the E Street Band. He gets some weird charge from it.
Wait. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? You were starting to say that Springsteen was trying to call in last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was he going to add to the topic? Like what was his embarrassing thing that he would want to take back?
Oh, let me ask. Okay, hang on. Hold on.
Yeah, please.
Hey, Bruce, what was that thing you said you would like to take back that was so embarrassing that you did? Oh, no. Please, no, please. No. Please stop. Don't stop, please. It's so bad. This is as bad as yours.
As bad
as
mine.
Oh, my God.
What?
Okay, well,
yeah,
when Bruce was campaigning for Obama last election, they were having lunch, and Obama said how much he loves the song Born to Run, right?
Okay, yeah.
And he makes a joke about naming Bruce to be the next Secretary of Transportation.
Okay.
Okay, well, Bruce thinks he's being serious about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bruce starts coming up with all these ideas to make travel, like, more affordable and simpler.
Okay.
He starts telling the president about an idea he's got for moving sidewalks that would go from city to city and go, like, 1,000 miles an hour. And, like, all these buses that run on water.
On what?
Water.
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 Okay, sure. What? W-A-T-E-R.
Yeah, water.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, anyway.
So buses that run on it.
Yeah, like, that's their fuel.
Okay.
So he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's making all this stuff up, and he's basically just trying to remember stuff from the Jetsons.
Okay.
Yeah. And so eventually the president is so, like, weirded out by this and embarrassed for Bruce.
Yeah.
That he pretends he got a text saying his daughters had been kidnapped.
Just to get out of it.
Just to get out of it.
Which is like from a movie. That's like
exactly.
It's like Taken or something.
Totally, yeah.
Oh, that is so
it's
embarrassing.
I think it's maybe worse than yours, but not by much.
No, that one's worse than mine.
No. What's that, Bruce? Yeah, I seen SNL this week, so what? Well, they didn't use it. It's not that big a deal.
SNL?
Well, I know it's disappointing, but they only have so much time.
Wait, what is...
Bruce submitted a joke to Lorne Michaels for Weekend Update, and he's upset it didn't get on.
Uh-huh. Really? He wrote a joke?
He did, yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you know the joke?
Yeah, he actually told me what it was going to be. Something like, this week everybody was talking about them two llamas that escaped from their cages in Arizona. When asked for her opinion on it, Madonna said, I thought that the llamas were, ah! You know, because she tripped on her luscious cape.
Oh, that joke. Oh, that's not a great.
Oh, he loves it, Bruce.
Wow.
You know, Bruce has been on SNL a lot, like playing live and stuff.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But he wants to host really bad.
Really?
And he's got all these ideas for when he does host.
Okay.
He wants to do the cheerleaders routine, you know, that Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry did.
Yeah, and neither of them are on the show anymore.
No, but he wants to do it with him and Patty, his wife.
Him and... Oh, okay.
And he wants to do the making copies guy.
Okay.
And he wants to do the cone heads.
Cone heads.
He wants to do Mango.
Okay.
And he wants to do Dieter.
Okay, all right. These are all...
Wants to do the Bumblebees.
These are all old characters. They don't just keep doing...
I know.
The characters, no matter... Like, it does the sketches don't stay alive...
No.
If the cast, those go away when the cast goes away.
He does want to do one current one, though.
What's that?
Guess.
A current SNL. Like a recurring thing?
Yes.
Is it, does it have a catchphrase attached to it?
To him it is.
He
says it all the time.
Attention, teachers and students?
That's it, yes.
So, oh boy, Bruce wants to do that.
He wants to do that, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I keep telling him, you got to do new sketches, you know, you got to do new characters. So he goes, okay, and he ended up writing this 20-minute long sketch about Gary U.S. Bonds and Barry Bonds running a bail bonds office.
Oh. Oh,
I kept telling him, look, I don't care how good your Gary U.S. Bonds impression is. Lorne Michaels isn't going to know who it is. She just won't know.
Wait, she won't know. No,
yeah.
Lorne Michaels is a man. It's
what?
Lorne, not Lauren.
No, it's Lauren.
No, it's Lorne.
It is so.
L-O-R-N-E. What? Oh.
Oh, hang on. Hang on. Oh, hey. I gotta go. Bruce is here.
He's there.
Yeah, he's outside. He's picking me up. And our new dog, Dave Cash, who I told you about.
Yeah, your dog, Dave Cash.
He's the best, right?
He sounds like a good dog.
Oh, I love him. Anyway, the three of us are going to go run up the art museum steps like Rocky did in Rocky I, the homely girl who took off her glasses, let down her hair, and was instantly hot.
But that's not the subtitle to the first Rocky movie.
Oh, I think it is. Well, anyway, if it's not, that's neither here nor there.
It's neither here nor, no, here nor there. I don't know how these phrases get, like, in the lexicon where you keep, I keep hearing neither here, it, neither here nor there.
I don't know. Okay, we're coming. We're coming. We're coming. You think you're a big man just because you got two horns up there in New Jersey. Y'all got two horns and we only got one down here. I'm sick of it. Okay, Blob, I gotta run, okay?
Well,
oh, no.
Hey, Roy.
The cash went on my foot.
What? Dave Cash went on his foot. Wow. Dave Cash went on his foot. Oh. These are crazy days, Mike. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to Best Show Best, and I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes. I want to thank Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, John Worster, of course, and you. And once again, listen to The Best Show live each and every Tuesday night on your computer at thebestshow.net. Thanks so much.